everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastors Gary Zamora.
Good afternoon, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you? Maybe it may be.
What time is it?
It may be evening by now. I'm not really sure.
It's approaching. But we only film these one at a time.
Right. So but I can't remember what time we got here today. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fantastic. That is a beautiful shirt you have on.
Oh, thank you. Kind of a newfound friend makes these. No, you know what? Actually, I'm wrong. That was another podcast that we did.
That was another. Well, I was going to say, I really enjoy.
I should just say thank you.
I really enjoy your different shirt from the last time I was on a podcast with you.
Right? Yeah,
it's really nice.
Well, this is by request of my daughter.
I only own one shirt.
My daughter doesn't like me to wear the same
you
shirt.
Nor should you.
Because she says.
You just happen to wear it every week on the same
day. I know.
Day.
She
That's
said,
weird.
Dad, you need to buy another shirt. So when you do a podcast, you know, a month from now, it's a different
That's
shirt.
Right. Than, That's right.
Well, oh, my goodness.
Shirt. Okay. This is the type of episode you turn in for today because we're going to do something. We're going to do something silly, not silly at all, but kind of silly in the sense that he doesn't know what I'm about to talk about or ask him to talk about. We're going to put you on the spot, though, and see what God says with you about this.
Well, it's kind of like when you go before the rulers and the judge, don't think of what you're going to say. So there I am.
Exactly.
Right before the Stever.
Well, and the thing is, it's a very softball verse. It's not a very deeply, you know, thing. It's a very softball verse.
So where did this come from?
So this morning, just, you know, when in the mornings, a lot of times I'll just pray, you know, Lord, what, give me something to read. And it, like, he'll give me a verse in my head, like a, you know, John, this happens to be John 13. 13:3. Okay. John 13:3. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of times where people make jokes about you randomly fit through the Bible and find stuff. And that's not a very healthy, necessary, disciplined way. But sometimes God does. And God will give me verses. And I've got a pretty good batting average, I think, of things that mean something more applicable. I can understand why. I think I'm around 75% of the time I feel like God gave me some verse to look up and goes, wow, that's really powerful.
Well, according to your faith, right?
According to your faith. That's all I can go
on.
It's
not a random spin.
Because otherwise it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to go through the book of John or I'm going to go through the book of, well, why did you choose to do that? Did you get the word of the Lord to do that? Or did you just decide that as well? So at what point are you interacting with God versus every moment of the day, right?
Yeah, I get you.
So I read this morning and it didn't necessarily, wasn't like, directly speaking to anything I was thinking about, but it's about Jesus, and I think it speaks to us all the time. But then I started thinking maybe there is something of an application as we look like in a world right now where there's kind of a lot of chaos going on, and what's the role of the church? And you have certain people that think, you know, that are sincere in their passion for God, but I think probably a bit misplaced in this kind of idea of this conquering church, and we're going to get, you know, the dominion of the church has to take over in this forceful way and that kind of stuff. And what is the kingdom supposed to look like? What is the kingdom operating as it's meant to? What is it supposed to look like? So all that to say, here I'm about to give the verse. Here's the verse, John 13:3, and a couple later, and it's just a simple verse. Everyone knows the verse, not very profound. And this is during during the Last Supper, and John writes saying, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, which is really cool. I just love that. We could just stop right there if we wanted to and contemplate that. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and they had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, why do you wash my feet? Jesus said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he's completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. And that goes on to talk about Judas, of course.
Sure.
But it's just such a powerful thing. You know, when we think of knowing he was from God and God had given all things into him, he was the one that said, this is leadership. Let me serve you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the word says that Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. You know, he didn't come to take life. I mean, he certainly could have based on the sins of man, the judgment. He even said that I could judge, you know, and my judgment would be true. And because I'm faithful and you haven't been. But he said, I didn't do that. I came for God so loved the world. The Father sent me that you could have life through me. I want to share who I am, who the Father is. I want to share that with you. So the intent of power, the determination to gain power is perceived so many times in overcoming someone else through weakness or strength.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's in surrender and submission to all authority and all power. And that's to have a heart of a servant. You know, given it shall be given. You know, it's not just something that preachers say or should say, you know, just because they're taking up an offering. It's really in an attitude of where you find strength, where strength really lies, where that seed really grows out of.
Yeah.
And it really is in ministering, serving one another. And then like Peter, you know, we hear things and then we always have our take on it. Not only my feet, but my whole body. It's just like, Peter, just listen to what he's saying. You know, I mean, I may have done the same thing. Who knows? But it's just like we always have our take instead of listening. Something the Lord spoke to me, has spoken to me in more occasions. And one, it was just listen, listen, listen for my voice, you know, in the sea, look for the hand of God, you know, in the den, look for the presence and the peace of the Lord, you know, the furnace, look for God in the fire. It's really having a heart to be surrendered to God is in everything. And if he is, we become better servants.
Yeah.
When we are confident, hey, you know, I have the Lord at my side. Now, Jesus said this, and he felt this way. He said, the Father is with me always. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And he said, and he's with me and answers me always because I always do the will of the Father. And then we have the, you know, we can reverse that. And people are saying, I'm only human. You know, I'm a failure. I'm not always, no one's perfect. Personally, I got so fatigued with hearing that I've actually ministered on it a couple of times. Yep. You know, stop saying I'm not perfect. This is no, you know, top news, on the newscast here. Everyone knows you're not perfect. Everyone knows, you know, this isn't breaking news. We are not perfect. Where did that come from? We are born of Christ. He is perfect. His will is perfect. His way is perfect. His salvation is perfect. When we start thinking imperfect, we start doing imperfect things, mm-hmm. and we stop becoming servants.
Yeah.
And we stop walking in the force of authority and power because we lose confidence. That's when we start fighting. We start fighting and contending when we lose confidence in our position and who God is. And some don't even know what that position is. And it's not just who we are in him, it's who he is in us. Yeah. Remember, he said, I in you and you in me. I in you and you in me.
Wow.
As a branch can't bear fruit of itself. So what was the fruit Jesus produced? He surrendered himself to the will of God and became a servant. And that was where salvation came. So salvation doesn't come. Making things right doesn't come from a strong fist and a strong arm and a strong resolve in our head. It comes from surrender and becoming servants as Christ came to serve, as he said, and not to be ministered to, but to minister. If we would take in this critical time the mindset of being surrendered and being a servant and being washed clean in our consciousness, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, go back to the simplicity of who we are and how did we feel when we first got saved? That should be our foundation. Let's go back. I believe the future isn't ahead. I believe the future is in the past. In the beginning, God said, in the beginning, God made his image and his likeness, and he called us that, his image and his likeness. And we walk in the glory of God's will and purpose, and we minister one to another. Mm. You know, God brought Eve out of Adam. He should be able to bring people out of us, should be able to bring nations out of us. Out of your belly will flow rivers of life-giving water. Well, how would he bring people and nations out of us? By being born again. You know, Nicodemus said, Jesus said, see the kingdom, you have to be born again. How can I be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, how can you be, you know, a teacher and you don't understand the simplest things? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Nations should come out of us. I'm not talking about different people, but God brought a nation out of Adam when he brought one woman that bore the word called Eve, the mother of all. So if when God brings a heart of surrender, a heart of love, a heart of humility out of us, people see their identity in our surrender to who he is, and they're born again in that likeness. So it's kind of like nations coming out of you.
I love that.
Out of your belly flows rivers of life-giving water. Well, that doesn't happen if we are just pursuant to try and crush and destroy something. It comes out of our heart to surrender and to yield. So in this time and at all times, instead of trying to become the dominant force in the room, become the dominant influence in the room. Mm. You know, the dominant spirit of surrender, the dominant spirit of kindness and love, a word of faith, a word of prophecy about who Christ is and what he's doing and how he would be revealed in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we can do. You know, you and I don't have, we don't have, you know, we're not in a plane flying overhead. We're not on boots on the ground. What can we do? What can we do, us, we, that are sitting back when chaos and war is breaking out? It sounds like maybe the weakest thing you could do, and it's the most powerful. Become a servant. Yeah. Surrender to the will of God. Minister to the people around you, your own household. Love people. Instead of stirring people up to fear and strife and, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world, stir them up to, this is a new beginning. God is doing a new thing. You know, people don't always like the way God does the things that he does, and he doesn't always end the things that we want him to end, but he does finish the work that he started.
Yeah.
And God's doing a great thing in the earth today. And as surrendered vessels to the Lord, we become the most influential, the most impactful, and the most powerful. And then you become the most important tool in the shed.
Yeah, yeah, that's powerful. I love that idea of nations coming out of us because what we're able to sow. And, you know, I think of Jesus being, it's so interesting that right in that context, it puts that knowing that he had the fullness of the Father. Yeah. And so it's like that. It wasn't an act like Peter thought, you have to get this done for salvation. Jesus is like, you're already clean. It's not about that. But it's like who the heart of what God is. And it's like the faith that's we were talking about before, just that idea of before, meaning like we always do, we have much better conversations when we're not filming than when we are filming. So if you like anything we ever say, you should find out where Jonathan's studio is and come hang out while the address is.
No,
I'm joking. No, but what I was going to say is we were talking before about, you know, a world beyond war, you know, and a world beyond a people and God working in his people to get us all beyond that place of a unity of who he was. The scriptures talk about the idea of you will beat your swords into plowshares. It's in the heart of God to take us beyond that, regardless of justness or non-justness of anything that's going on. There is still a place beyond that that we give to. And I think then we're talking about the way we begin that perspective. And I think this verse can help us think that way, because it's like, when you are truly believing in who you are in him, that his fullness, then you don't need anything else. And you were talking about perfect, you know, and we think of, we got to be perfect. And I love that word also translates to the idea of completeness.
Yeah, it does.
And he was, so Jesus knew he was complete, which means he didn't need anything else. He didn't lust for anything else. And where does war and fighting come from? Not even the lust of war within your flesh, you know? And that idea that when we know that we are complete in him, then I don't have to contend with you for ego, for position, for anything. Exactly. Then I am free to serve. When I believe that, it's not even an act of struggle. Well, it's like when I'm confident of my position, I can take on any position, you know? And we have a really good friend that I've worked for a lot. I don't know whether I should say his name or not, but I'm not going to say his name. But he is an amazing example in the workplace of servant leadership.
Yeah.
And he taught me how to be on a film set, that here he is, he's the boss of everything. And now it's time to move equipment. He's the first guy to go grab this light stand and move it over here.
He's
the first guy to go do this and do that. And he leads by demonstrating. And no task is too small, too dirty. And in fact, he relishes it.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that is just because he's a good person, but it comes out of also his confidence. He knows where he stands.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid someone's going to think down on him or belittle him or whatever, but he knows he's the boss. He knows he's in charge, and he can do anything with the confidence, and he doesn't use that to lord over him, and he demonstrates this is what we do. And I think about that when we understand our completeness in him, which is, I think, so much of what, you know, I've heard from you talk about for 20, 25 years, you know, is that the fullness of him dwelling within us and that being expressed. When we're confident, we truly put our faith in that, then that does, I can serve anybody because it's not about my position. I'm not worried someone's going to take my position. I'm not worried because I'm confident in that. And then I can be a nothing. And it's, I think, again, as you always talk about, we were just talking about before, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that idea is like, you're going to deliver us, but even if you don't, it doesn't matter because I know who I am in you, and I don't have to prove anything.
Yeah, and I know who I serve. It's kind of hard to, when you're serving from your heart, it's kind of hard to get into conflict with the person you're serving.
Yeah, that's this, really good. That's
this unnamed really good. Person you're talking about, what I see in him is he's right. He'll come to church. And when it's finished, you know, he's not standing there waiting for people to come and say, you know, you're this or you're that, or, you know, we love. He gets up on the platform and he's always looking to make things better. He's always mm-hmm. trying to make sure the lighting is better or positioning is better. Just make it better. Okay. Heart of a servant.
Yeah.
And he portrays that, and it's powerful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's the best light, if you will, that you can put yourself in because you're there to bring the best change, you know, not there trying to take charge or be a boss, you become a servant. And in becoming a servant, you know, the least, as the mustard seed, ends up becoming the greater. And the power of our influence over the world isn't that we become dominant in our spirituality. It's because when we become surrendered in our confidence in him. And when you do, you want to help people. You want to speak kind. You're not in conflict or in competition with someone. So it's easy to speak well of someone. You're not being judgmental. You're there to serve. Being a servant, serving is one of the most pristine, powerful, beautiful, influential places you will ever be. And typically, a lot of times, people run from that.
Yeah.
They want that higher place. The word said it like this. When you go into a place, you know, don't seek the highest seat.
Mm.
Don't seek the front row. You know, bring yourself to the lowest place. You know, humble yourself and God will exalt you because God would give you everything. But he loves you so much. He knows it's the heart of surrender to his will, the heart of being a steward of his love that makes you a servant.
Yeah.
And the servant is who God elevates to the position of authority and power. You know, it's Joseph in Egypt. He goes and he's made a servant. You know, he goes, his brothers throw him in a pit, and then he serves, and then the soldiers, the captain's wife gets upset and lies about him, and he's thrown in prison. And what does he do in prison? He's not screaming about, I shouldn't be here. We don't read about him saying it's unjust. What he does is he starts serving. Yeah. He starts prophesying. He gains a renown for hearing from God and serving the people. What did God do? Elevate him. And he became second to none except the Pharaoh. And really, he told Pharaoh what to do. God elevates the humble, and he's able to elevate the power in people through our surrender, because that's where he shines the most.
Yeah.
In my weakness, your strength is made perfect, and it's a powerful thing. You know, we look at not just this time of war, but times of war and conflict all over, and we get upset when it comes to the surface. But it's really just an expression of how people are day to day. You know, it's just kind of a magnifying glass on the way people have been living and what they have ignored and what they didn't take care of and how they should have served and how they should have thought. we as the body of Christ should be the people that speak and bring peace, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the meek, and inherit the earth through our meekness and through sowing peace and speaking the will and the word and the wisdom and the love of God. If God's going to do it, and he is, he can do it without your help.
Yeah.
He can do it better with your surrender than he can without your effort. And if you want to employ any effort, employ the effort that it takes to crush your ego and surrender your will and be a servant of love and minister to one another. And that's what Jesus was demonstrating.
Absolutely.
There's a scripture. It's funny because before you said, I'm going to say something to you in this podcast. And I said, well, don't tell me then. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you. But when you said it, this is the scripture that came to mind. I pulled it up as though I knew what you were going to say.
Uh-huh.
It says, the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Mm. And the bread, which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Mm. And what is our communion with the blood and the body? That he shed his blood for us. He poured out his blood for us.
The ultimate washing of feet. The ultimate.
And he gave his body. He gave his life. The ultimate surrender to the will of God. Mm. The ultimate servant for the salvation of the world. He surrendered himself to God. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And this cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion with the body of Christ? Isn't it our communion? The word communion, common union, don't we come into the common union of who Christ is? And in that is great victory. In that is real victory over all types of conflict and war and strife, bringing the unity of the kingdom of God to the forefront of this generation. I'm telling you, this season, this time, I see it as clearly as I see you. It is not just the continuation of a time. It is a new era, a new season of time. God is doing a new thing. Do you not know it? Can you not see it? And I see it, and I'm excited about it. God bless the nations of the earth. Yeah. God be glorified in all the earth.
Amen. And it's such a powerful way of thinking. That's why it was so revolutionary, I think. I mean, even in Jesus' time. I mean, it threw those religious leaders for a complete loop.
Yeah.
You know, the Pharisees, the last thing they would have done had been caught dead washing somebody's feet.
Yeah. Well, even the church, they're saying, come and raise up your kingdom and put these guys down and take over. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to lay my life down for you.
Yes.
And you that think they're so wrong, you're going to see how wrong you are through the right that I am. And the will of the Father is done in me. And through that, your surrender will come. And when you surrender, they will be driven by your surrender and your worship and your faith, and a nation will come out of you. What do you mean? You're going to influence people because of what is coming out of you. It's as though you're giving birth to people, you know, to a nation of people through your surrender to the one that created the nations.
Absolutely. And it's really beyond even the spiritual truth of what that says about Jesus and what it says about who God is. It is such a powerful means of influence.
Oh,
you know, going back to our friend, my boss, I'm on set and I'm in charge on a set and it's time to do stuff. I can't sit there. I just can't sit there and let someone else do this stuff. I gotta be because it's like that echo is so
contagious.
It's so contagious in me that I just feel the heartbeat that this is what's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like feeling like I have to do it. It just becomes I've been sewn into what this means and how you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
And people say, no, we got this. It's like, no, I'm right here with you. I gotta be right here. And that becomes contagious and it spreads. And when you think about how quickly the church grew and with what Jesus did and what the disciples and how they went and served and just the fire that it caught. And I think through history, you could probably look at the times that, you know, certainly there's an effectiveness to altar calls and big things, but really I think the kingdom spread and the church spread throughout history the most when it was willing to take on that heartbeat of what you're talking about and say, we're here to serve. We're not here to have our culture manifested, our thing protected. We're here just like he was. We came into a world that we know is against us. Yeah. We came in a world that needs us, and we're here in the face of it all to love and to serve and to show who he is.
Well, it is the most influential position you can have, and I think it is of the most contagious, and it affects us in the most positive and powerful way. I mean, hopefully, you know, most everyone has been at a point or a time in their life where they, without being paid, you know, without looking for, I'm going to do this for you if you do that for me, mm-hmm. and you just did it out of being a servant and just being a help, ministering, blessing someone by surrendering yourself, you know, rolling up your sleeves and going out there, yeah. and doing it. There's such a sense of importance in surrender, in servitude, in being a servant to others beyond your needs. And that really is dominion in the earth.
Yeah.
You know, all Adam and Eve had to do was say what God told them to say and believe what God told them to believe. It's not that hard. We work way too hard. I've said this before. In the garden, Adam sinned in the garden. Okay, he sinned in the garden, and we all know that. And God said, you've cursed the ground. Because of you, it's cursed.
Yeah.
And now it's through your toil that it will yield its produce. Or in other words, you're going to eat, he said, by the sweat of your brow. By the sweat of your brow, because of your attitude, your actions, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. Okay, so he cursed the ground. Adam did it. God didn't do it. Adam cursed the ground. And he said, thorns and thistles are going to rise up. You've created conflict, and you've created hardship for yourself. You've created hardship. So when Jesus went into the garden, okay, mm-hmm. Adam messed up in the garden. Jesus made it right in the garden.
Yeah.
The word says, as he prayed, and he prayed so earnestly that drops of blood, sweat came from him as great drops of blood.
Yeah.
And his blood, he bled on the soil. And the blood of Christ, everywhere, every place, Christ's blood touched the earth. He sanctified and broke the curse of hardship. Adam created it in the garden. Jesus broke it in the garden.
I love that.
Great sweats of blood, drops of blood, the word says, poured from him, and he prayed more earnestly. And he broke Adam's curse by pouring out his blood as a servant to save the people. Didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And it's through that servant's heart of surrender that his blood broke the curse, and the hardship is broken. Now we need to believe into that. And the best way, this cup of blessings which we bless, and this bread that we bless, is it not our communion with the body of Christ? Let's commune. If we take on that same attitude,
yeah.
that's your overcoming power.
Yes.
You know, it overcomes your fear, your doubt, or I don't have enough. Feel like you don't have enough of something, go and serve someone. Just go and minister for a minute, forget what you need, and go minister to someone else. Go serve someone else. Go help them with their purpose. Given it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's just such a powerful thing to see that Christ surrendered to the will of the Father. He became a servant. He surrendered himself and took on himself sin, took on the burden, our burden on himself. And in doing that, he delivered ourselves. And the word says with joy,
yeah.
joy, because he got to not get us as though he needed us. He got to receive us through his blood as sons, and he got to share his love. God is so loving, so kind. If we could take a little bit of that attitude, that spirit of love and servitude and surrender, that will change the world. And it begins by changing who we are, and we become a witness of who he is. Yeah. That's Man. The cup of blessing.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. I love your heart. Thank you so much. Wow. And that was, and I got to, now I'm going to find a really weird verse next time and tell you that I just thought of it. Yeah. And then we'll see where you go with that.
But always so good. Thank you, Steve. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
bringing,
Pastor.
Sharing your verse with us today. And, I'm just so thankful for you and your family. You guys have been a tremendous blessing to us. You're going to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. This is a new season. God is going to use you as a seed sown in the soil of destiny. And I know that sounds a little, you know, but God has sown you, and it's not, and this isn't scripted, but I'm saying God has sown you as a seed in the soil, your soil, wherever you are, as a seed of destiny and purpose, and God will bring out of you great new things that'll touch the hearts and the lives of people around the world. Even though you may feel like one small mustard seed planted in one little spot, God says that's the kingdom, and he's planted you there, and you're going to grow up huge, and the nations of the earth, however that plays out, you may never be on television, or you may never have a big business, or you may. You may never have a big church, or you may. You may have a little family, a small family, married, unmarried, but that seed has a memory, and it's going to remember where it came from, and that's Christ, and it's going to grow up and do more and feed more through the fruit in you that Christ put in you than you could imagine. Just be faithful, stand strong, and remember, this is the greatest season of your life.